This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
A few weeks ago, I got a flat tyre in my car, and there's a button that sort of says assist in the car, and I pressed it, and without using my phone, using the car's internal SIM, it dialed the manufacturer. They knew my name, they knew exactly where I was, they knew which tyre had the flat on it, and they could tell me how long, etc., they would be until they could come and fix it. My previous car wanted me to create a Google email address so that I could use the infotainment system. And of course, then it was sending all this data. I had to go through the settings to find out how to opt out of certain data settings that it would send to the manufacturer. Our cars are taking so much of our information and we're not even aware of it. We're going to talk about that next.
Missed the show? Download the Joy Drive podcast. Head to joy.org.au, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We all have difficult times in our lives when we need a professional to talk to. Bent Couch Counselling provides a welcoming, safe and therapeutic environment, both online across Australia and in person in Melbourne. Sean is the Rainbow Counsellor at Bent Couch, specialising in supporting positive change in the mental health of the LGBTQIA+ community. Contact Sean today for a confidential conversation at bentcouch.com. Joy sponsor.
Australia's largest LGBTQIA+ film festival is back. The 33rd annual Melbourne Queer Film Festival is screening the best and latest queer films from Australia and internationally from November 9 to 19, featuring over 100 programs across the city. Join in on the fun with screenings at cinema venues across Melbourne, including the Victorian Pride Centre rooftop. Tickets are on sale now. Visit mqff.com.au to find out more. MQFF, proudly different, Joy sponsor.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
New research conducted by the Mozilla Foundation has described new cars as a privacy nightmare on wheels. If you think about it, all the information that our cars have access to. So how bad is the problem and what needs to be done to protect our privacy? Catherine Kemp is the Associate Professor and Deputy Director at the Allens Hub for Technology, Law and Innovation at the University of New South Wales. Catherine, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks, Warren.
Catherine, are our cars data harvesting machines?
They are increasingly becoming data harvesting machines, and you've given some really good examples there of just the direction they're headed in, especially in the case of what we call connected cars, or cars that might be advertised with connected features, connected services, or come with an app. That's a sign that this is the kind of car that's collecting information in real time and distributing it to various other parties.
I hadn't thought of that. My car actually does have an app as well, which is on my phone. So the car essentially has access to all the data on my phone, doesn't it?
Yeah, you would have to look at the terms either in the app itself. It can sometimes be in your sale contract or in the user manual or on the website. But that can mean that not only is it the car sharing data about what's happening in the car, your acceleration, steering, brake use, seatbelt use and so forth, but what's happening on your phone, like your contacts on your phone, other apps that you're using, transactions that you're doing on your phone. So it ends up being potentially a very broad range of data.
What did the research by the Mozilla Foundation find?
So the Mozilla Foundation did research that was based in the US, based on US privacy policies. And a big thing to bear in mind there is that US consumers actually get a lot more information than we do because of the Californian privacy law, which requires companies that are operating in California to give much more specific information. So they were able to dredge up a lot of details about the extent of sharing for extra purposes and just what a hugely wide range of data was being collected, including in some cases sexual activities and all manner of information about families and so forth, which doesn't appear in our privacy policies in Australia, in part because ours are allowed to be a lot more vague and broad under our more outdated privacy laws. So we have more information about what's happening in the US, and in addition to that, there are more connected cars that have been that are available on the market in the US at the moment. But the headline of it was all 25 car brands failed their privacy tests. So they said all of them were bad.
That was going to be my next question. Are they all bad? Are any of them better than others?
Yeah, but that was very much what they were saying. They said this is the worst privacy category. So they've looked at things like entertainment, mental health apps, fertility apps and so forth, all manner of categories, and usually come up with an example of this is the brand that we would suggest that you go towards. In the case of cars, they said they're all bad. It's just a matter of bad to worse. And, you know, listeners could have a look at the Mozilla Foundation research to see at least what they say about the US market. And in Australia, I can tell you that the privacy policies here use really broad terminology that could include, disclosures to lots of different kinds of entities. For example, under the banner of affiliates, we don't know who affiliates are, and broad corporate groups sharing with government agencies and so forth.
Is it possible to opt out of this data sharing, or is it so convoluted, the process, that it makes it, quite difficult to do, and the Privacy Act would cover the car company anyway?
Well, there are a couple of things to bear in mind here. One is that as a practical thing, it's very difficult for consumers to find any place that these car brands are allowing them to opt out of this data collection. Some of them will say in their privacy policies, if you don't like the data sharing and data uses that occur with our connected services, don't use the connected services. So it's an all or nothing approach that you might find in the privacy policy. And this is related to a real weakness in our privacy legislation in Australia, which is that we allow companies to bundle consents. So that means that they may have your consent to use your data for the purposes of providing you with safer driving or assistance in the case of a breakdown. But that consent is bundled in with a whole lot of unnecessary purposes like customer research, profiling, marketing strategies, and so on, rather than allowing you to say, I agree to this stuff, but not all of these extra purposes that were never within my reasonable expectations.
That's really interesting you say that, because the previous car that I had to set up a Google email address, and I don't have a Gmail email address, so I created sort of a dummy one just for the sake of it. If I hadn't done that, even the radio wasn't going to work properly. Like it was either I was in or I was out, and I wouldn't have had any infotainment system.
Yeah, that's a really important example that you're giving there, because it is undermining the functionality of the car that you as a consumer expect to have, and that you later find out that you are having to jeopardize your privacy in order to have access to that basic functionality. And this is where the government needs to be aware of how urgent it is for us to update our privacy legislation in Australia to bring it into the digital era. We are well behind other jurisdictions like California, the EU South Korea in where our privacy and data protection regulation is at. And one of the things that's being proposed at the moment as a law reform is that we should have a fair and reasonable test for data practices so that it wouldn't just be a matter of, well, we got them to tick a box and so we can do what we like with this data, but instead a court would be able to look substantively at what is this company doing with this information and is that fair and reasonable for consumers as well, because we know it's not like we have the ability to go toe-to-toe with these car companies and negotiate on those details.
I think one of my concerns was in not getting access to the radio was if I was driving in a regional area, for example, and there was an emergency, a bushfire situation, if I didn't agree to the privacy conditions of this car and set up that email address, I wouldn't have necessarily had access to emergency services broadcasts on the local radio stations. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So I'm forced to agree to their terms and conditions just so I can get access to it.
Yeah, and that's just as you say, it's not a luxury. These are necessities for us to be able to have access to those kind of functions on our cars. We no longer have our traditional kinds of radios that would allow us to connect anywhere without a Gmail address or the like, or an app for that matter. But we do need to be able to say we've paid for those features, and we shouldn't have to be, opening up our data and exposing ourselves to this kind of customer profiling and potential use of our information against our interests, down the track, potentially being exposed to insurance companies and government agencies against our interests in order to have access to those functions.
We're chatting with Catherine Kemp, Associate Professor and Deputy Director of the Allens Hub for Technology, Law and Innovation at the University of New South Wales, about cars and our privacy when it comes to our data. Catherine, what role has the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries played in the reform of our privacy laws?
Right. So the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries represents 68 car brands in Australia, so very likely they represent your car brand because they're most of them. Mm-hmm. And they've got together and said, in part, they've been making submissions about privacy law reform, and they've opposed a lot of privacy law reforms and said, essentially, don't worry, we have a voluntary privacy code that all these members have agreed to. Importantly, there in that title is the word voluntary, in that it can't be enforced, it's not binding on them, and throughout this code there are expressions such as we will endeavour, we will seek to, and so forth, and they don't say we're committing to this, they say this will drive our approach to privacy practices. So as you can imagine, it's a relatively self-serving code. Which shouldn't give consumers too much confidence that something has been done about this.
What reform do we need to do to the privacy laws to cover the automotive industry?
Well, a lot of this is similar across the economy, but we're talking about ways that, it can particularly fix up our situation with cars. As I mentioned, there's a fair and reasonable test. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we can improve our standards for consent. At the moment, under our Privacy Act, consent includes implied consent. So that can mean an organisation is relying on the fact that in some, distant corner of their website, there is a privacy policy that they are assuming you have read and agreed to, and on that basis, they're implying your consent. Aside from that, and this might sound boring, but it's not, we need an updated definition of personal information, because there are quite a number of organisations who are claiming this is not personal information because we took your name and email address off it and we gave you a unique numerical code instead that just applies to you. And as you can imagine, there's not a great deal of difference between tracking you using a unique number versus tracking you using your name, say that the unique number is actually unique, whereas our names are not. Mm. So we need some of those updates to bring us into line with other countries and give consumers some hope of having fair dealings with their personal information.
Is there an appetite for the laws to be changed in the government?
One of the unusual things over the past couple of years is we suddenly had a lot more impetus towards privacy law reform that didn't come from the recommendations from our consumer watchdog from a couple of years ago in its digital platforms inquiry when they said we urgently need this, but instead came from the Optus and Medibank and Latitude Finance data breaches, when so many Australians were affected personally by these and began to realise, hang on, you know, these companies are holding on to our information even when we've cancelled our accounts, and they're holding on to them for up to 10 years at a time. And so the government at that point upped the penalties for breaching the Privacy Act, but unfortunately has not yet changed the rules themselves, which still remain relatively broad and weak. So the next thing we need is for the government to go ahead and put forward an amended Privacy Act. And just last month, the Attorney General said that he is going to propose changes to our Privacy Act. And there's going to be a lot of debate and argument over those changes, because many companies, including data brokers and advertising technology companies, depend on the relatively weak privacy regulation that we have in place at present, and will have a big incentive to lobby against improvements to our privacy law.
Catherine, let's hope we do get those improvements that we do need. Thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive.
Only a pleasure.
Thank you. Catherine Kemp, Associate Professor and Deputy Director of the Allens Hub for Technology, Law and Innovation at the University of New South Wales.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.